Let me remind you the scripture that Josh read, John 15. It falls under that prayer that we would be rooted. Remind you that we're still in the upper room, just like we were last week. This text is a part of a larger segment of the Gospel of John where Jesus is speaking words of hope and promise, almost like his last words into his disciples, downloading his heart into the soul of his disciples. John 13 through 17 is where all of this takes place. Today we're in John 15. Last week, John 14, and we talked about the intimacy of our triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, how we are invited into that union of love with God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Then he said in John 14, I am in my Father and you are in me and I am in you. And this morning is a very similar concept as we're talking about being rooted and established in love. And John 15, verse 5 opens with these words. Let's say them together. I am the vine. Jesus is the vine. He is the true source of life. I am the vine is one of many I am statements found in the Gospel of John that gives us insight into the character of Christ and the shared essence between Christ and his Father. When he said, I am the vine, his listeners would have known exactly what this symbolism represents. The vine was symbolic of Israel's power, could be found on Israel's currency. There was a golden vine in front of the holy place of the temple. And the prophets of old had repeatedly compared Israel to a vine which had failed to yield the fruit that God desired. Jesus identified himself as Israel's fulfillment. He said, I am the true vine, genuine and real. Jesus would succeed where Israel had failed. So when he calls himself the true vine, he's saying, I am the vine of God. And you are the branches. You must be joined to me because it's not because you are Israel that you are saved, but it's because of your faith in me that you are being saved. I am the true source of life. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. You all are the branches. It's plural. It's not just about me, not all about you. It is about us. We are the body of Christ. Jesus is our living head. We are the church. He is the vine, we are the branches, and we are connected to the source of life who is so willing that the sap of his life and love flow into the branches. That's you and me. A branch, which is a part of the same plant as the vine. They are of the same essence, connected to one another. The branch is to the vine. It's an expression of the vine. There's shared life between the vine and the branch. Same DNA, they are intricately, intimately, and purposefully joined. And Jesus made it clear that there are two kinds of branches, those that produce fruit and those that don't. A branch that's disconnected from the source of life, it withers, it becomes brittle, and ultimately it dies. Jesus said, I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, to remain in Jesus means that our life in Christ, our discipleship, it's not a passive process. We're not just sitting there looking at the cup in the windowsill, doing nothing, but we are actively pursuing Christ, responding to his leadership in our lives. This word, remain in me and I in you, means continue in this relationship that's already been established. It is not off again, on again, off again. It is always on. If you're married and I ask you if you're married, you had better not say, well, ish. If we are married, we are in a relationship that's real, it is producing life, and there is fruit that demonstrates that union of love. And it is the same as being in Christ. We are not Christian-ish. We either are or we aren't, connected or we're not. Jesus is saying, remain in me, stay connected to me, continue following me, let me lead. Develop this relationship. Branches never strive to produce fruit. They simply abide. Fruit is the natural product. Our job is to remain in Christ. I am the vine. You are the branch. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. There's a relationship between our remaining in Christ and our producing fruit. Jesus refers to this concept at least 10 times in 11 verses in John 15. To remain in Christ is to see fruit produced in your life. Otherwise, we might not even be connected to the source of life. We might wither, we might die. And there are two ways that we produce fruit, inward and outward. The inward fruit of Christ's character being produced in us. We talked about that in June. It's not pray for patience. It's God, give me more of you. Help yourself to me. And as we grow in Christ, these fruits of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, all these things are produced inwardly. And there is fruit that's produced outwardly as well. It is obvious if we are connected to Christ, remaining in Christ, fruit within the church, fruit without the church. Bottom line, it's obvious that we're connected. And so we remain in Christ. Say this verse with me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, he continues, you can do nothing. Jesus is giving his disciples, inclusive of you and me, the secret to life, the key to life. It's remaining in him. It's continuing in Christ, staying connected. We live, move, and have our being in Christ. That relationship between the vine and the branches, it metaphorically shows the inner living relationship that Christ has established between himself and his disciples, those who claim his name. As we remain in him, he nourishes us with the sap of his Holy Spirit, and it yields fruit in every way. So what does that look like in our lives? For us to be connected to Christ, for us to actively remain in Christ. Inspired by conversation with my discipleship band, I want to suggest that for those who remain in Christ, when we remain in Christ, we are rooted, rested, relational. We are rooted in a place, our Christian faith. We are rooted in the church. It spans the globe and spans time. Rooted in Global Methodist, we are rooted in Marvin Church, in particular core worship, and we are rooted in Tyler, Texas. We are rooted in all the places that we go, from work to school, the neighborhood, places of leisure and extracurricular, even and especially our families. We are rooted and we know it. And our lives are lived on point and all of those places that we are rooted in. We're also rested, meaning there are rhythms that we give ourselves to that help to keep life connected to Christ, give life balance, purpose, meaning. It all serves that end. Rhythms like gathering and scattering, rhythms of prayer and scripture, of confession and absolution. Rhythms of feasting and fasting, rhythms of work, rest, and play, morning, night, seasons of the year, liturgies of our Christian faith. We are rooted, we are rested, and we are relational, first and foremost to a person His name is Jesus, and he is the revelation of the one true God. But we are also rooted to each other, the church. We are the body of Christ, not just me on my own. We are the fullest expression of the presence of Christ. We're rooted with the people that we work with and live with and work out with, get coffee with, buy from, relate to, and all of life. We are relational with Christians and with non-Christians alike, faithful to a person, faithful to a people who are not projects. We enter into life and relate to everybody. That's the life Christ has for us that frames out purpose, meaning, experiential power. It's his power. And my hunch is that many of us are experiencing something of the opposite, not rooted in anything. We're disconnected from Christ, each other, from the world, our purpose therein. And so we flounder about. We are not rested. Our lives are full of anxiety and they're frazzled and we're sporadic and I'm just exhausted all the time. We're not relating to anybody, especially Christ, and live lives of quiet desperation and isolation. We are all alone on the inside, and it is possible that we are fully known and fully loved in Christian community and with the God of all creation. I've got a friend who went through some sleep testing, and he had all the leads hooked up to him and slept in a white, pristine, sterile room, and they collected all of this data, and they asked him at the end of it, "How'd you sleep?" And he said, "Like normal." He's like, "Well, you didn't get any sleep or very little. You're not rested." And he's like, "Well, it's all I've ever known." And so they gave him this CPAP machine, and he sounds like Darth Vader and has this contraption when he sleeps. But he said, "I never knew how unrested I was. I never knew how little sleep I got." And I wonder if it's the same with us. We don't have a clue as to the life that we have been invited to step into and experience to the full. And we satisfy ourselves with God plus fill in the blank, all these other things. And we make idols out of the wrong things, and we don't have Christ in his proper place seated on the throne of our lives, and we don't prioritize being rooted, rested, relational, remaining. We're not remaining in Christ. So it's no wonder that we feel withered and shriveled and isolated and dry and barren and fruitless. What's the point? Jesus Christ offers us so much more than we've ever experienced. And if we've tasted even just a little, we're always learning about ourselves. And more than that, God is that big. And when we think we've arrived, there's so much more. So we can't be off and on again and off again. We have got to double down in the pursuit of Christ, because that's what it means to remain in him, to stay connected to him. Outside of Christ, there is no life, just existence. And we are invited into so much more. Yes. So this morning, I want to give an opportunity for reflection before we enter into closing prayer and come to this, the source of life. So let's close our eyes and bow in reflection before we pray.